We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, Roto Grinders? Dean here at Dean 78904. If you want to get all technical, I mean, it's 5:30 on the dot on the East Coast, 2:30 on the West Coast, 4:30 Tennessee time, which, of course, that means it's time for the flagship show here at Roto Grinders. It's called Grinders Live. Joining me today, out of the bullpen, actually, we had a late scratch. Boggs was 86. Unfortunately, he was unable to make it. But thank you, Stevie. You saved the people out there watching because they didn't want to hear me yammer for an hour. Thank you for jumping in. Much appreciate it. How are things in your world?
Well, I felt like I was a company man, so I figured I should help out. And I also felt really bad because, like, I was the one, like, preaching Fade McCullers yesterday. And while he didn't score, like, a million fantasy points, he crushed. And I got crushed personally. So I felt like I needed to come back and redeem myself. And, like, we have a show again tomorrow. Like, I'm on Thursday, too. So, like, I get plenty of chances to redeem myself this week.
I got a show tomorrow in baseball?
Pretty sure we have a show tomorrow. Maybe it's Thursday.
I was getting a little self-conscious because, like, it was thrown out there and like, hey, who could pick up a show today? Like, 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and, like, nobody responded. It's like, dude, what is it, me? What did I say? What did I do? But, yeah, thank you for jumping in. My ego was getting chattered there for a second. Hey,
I like working with you, Dean. Like, we have a podcast coming up together later this month. Like, I like working with Mr. Dean.
Yeah, it's good times for sure. I'm happy to, you know, look. I was like, well, did I do something wrong? Does nobody wants to play with me? Speaking of our ego, hey, hit the like button on YouTube. How you like that for a segue? Like and subscribe. Much appreciate that. We'll do our best to knock out your questions as the show progresses or with you for the next, I guess, 48 minutes. If you want to get all technical, of course, we yield to crunch time, which I believe today is Cardi and Mr. Tuttle, along with Kevin Roth, chief meteorologist. Roth will tell you what's going on weather-wise. I don't think there's anything as far as, like, a potential postponement, but there is some hot games out there. Of course, if anything changes, he'll give you the most up-to-date update there. I did not get a chance to do this, but – and, of course, yesterday – you talk about yesterday and for a second. Stevie, we live in the world of, you know, daily fantasy sports. We don't care about tomorrow. We don't care about today. Today – wait, we love today. We care about today. We don't care about yesterday. Yesterday was a disaster for me for baseball as well, too. I gave the people Gibson. I played Gibson, I think, in every lineup I played. We talked about that roof being open, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw it. Lewis hit a homer that kind of scraped it over the wall, and I was just like, man, that roof was closed. It's dying on the warning track, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, but Calhoun's triple would have died on the warning track, too. That ball carried forever. So, like, it kind of went both ways. But, you know, a couple of those home runs that were hit, like Kyle Seager's grand slam, that was a shot. Like, it was gone. Roof closed, roof open, didn't matter.
Well, I didn't play Calhoun in Texas, unfortunately. So it got me both ways. I know he was super popular on FanDuel, and I just didn't. I had a pinch of him, but I did not land on him, unfortunately. It was not a good baseball day for me. But hey, again, you know what? Yesterday doesn't matter.
We talked about the Washington weather, though. Like, that was a low-owned stack, and we talked about how Weather Edge was, like, really pumping that game, and, like, Washington scored, what, 16 runs? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to – I mean, look, I don't play enough lineups where I'm going to get Asdrubal Cabrera, like, coverage, unless he just kind of lands into me as a last man in and he, like, everything else works perfectly. But good for him. He banged out a couple homers. I'm sure somebody stacked Washington yesterday and won a bunch of money. Congratulations to him or her. Let's see.
I stacked Washington and didn't have Cabrera, so like we could look at it that way too.
Yeah, like who plays Asdrubal Cabrera in 2020, man?
Not me.
Yeah, I didn't. And, you know, congratulations. Turner was a great play. I think he had a jack and a bag, if I'm not mistaken. Bang one out, swiped the bag as well, too. But, again, let's talk about tonight. Big slate, mega slate. Max Scherzer's the king. He's in his own tier. We'll talk about him in a second. Before we do that, Stevie, give me a – well, tell the people what Sharpside is and give the people a Sharpside winner.
Yeah, Sharpside is an awesome app, you know, for, you know, locking in stuff. We got the streak going over there on Sharpside right now where you guys – we're trying to help you guys win some money over there on FanDuel. So make sure you're checking that out. I got my current streak is up to 3. I took the Houston over on the show yesterday. I already had locked mine in from the morning grind. I like the Cubs a lot today, so I took the Cubs money line today. It's gone – it was 130 – when I did the podcast last night, I locked it in at -110, and I think it's back to +110 right now. So I like the Cubs money line today. So, like, if you want to keep, you know, riding along with me on my streak, and hopefully I can keep you guys going here. So I'm up to 3. I'm hoping to make it 4 today with the Cubs.
Oof, John Lester. They're -110, what I'm seeing right now. I'm not sure what it says in the Sharpside app. And in order for it to qualify, you can't just pick the most egregious favorites. In order to get that streak going, it's got to be -140 or less. Try to take advantage of it and get those -140s, -130s you like. But you can't, you know, bet Max Scherzer today in Washington at, what is it, -170 or something like that. That would not work for your streak. And, again, it doesn't cost you anything. And I believe once you hit 5, you start getting yourself some FanDuel dollars. Give me the screenshot as far as this slate, Stevie. Again, a ton of games. We have another Coors game. One, like, legitimate pitcher in Coors. I think Zach Gallen is good. It's interesting to me that he's just a coin toss here against Kyle Freeland. I understand that, you know, there's some boppers in that Colorado side, but I think Zach Gallen is distinctly better than Kyle Freeland. Coors game and everything else, what are you seeing?
Listen, like, I feel like pitching today is – very tight group for me. Like, I was all in on Dustin May yesterday. It didn't work out. That doesn't mean that I'm not going back to, like, a Ross Stripling today. Love Max Scherzer against the Mets. The weather is really good hitting weather again in New York today. So we have, like, 3 or 4 games where Weather Edge is telling us, like, the runs should really increase because of weather. So that's one of them. You know, you have Zach Wheeler. You have Dylan Bundy. You have these guys at the top. I feel like today the ownership is really going to be Scherzer, Wheeler, Bundy, Stripling. And I think we see some ownership on, like, Marco Gonzalez in that Seattle-Texas game. And Josh Lindblom, if you're punting, like, he's super cheap. So I think people are going to be looking at him as well.
Yeah, you don't really want to pick on Minnesota, but he is pretty cheap. He's looked all right. Came over from the KBO. He was pretty solid over there too. He's got a collection of pitches. He's got, like, 6 or 7 different pitches in his arsenal, you know, his repertoire, a lot of pitches to throw out there. I'm not sure if he's been busting them all out. I know over there in the KBO, he was just throwing all sorts of stuff. He's not somebody that's going to overpower you, but he's got a pretty interesting pitch mix. I am pulling up. I'm trying to find it here on the fly. My computer, we were talking about this pre-show, Stevie. My computer is failing me once again. Man, I was told Max were, like, amazing. Why is this thing dying on me after, like, 2 years?
Stevie, what's I love going mine. On? Mine works great.
Well, mine is going super slow, and that's all I care about because it's mine. I'm pulling up the Weather Edge right now. If you happen to have it in front of you, feel free to jump in front of me. As far as the Mets game, you referenced a couple games that are sort of popping from a weather perspective, and that is one of them. Is that, I mean, that's what I saw at least as of 20 minutes ago. I assume things have not changed.
Yeah, +28% home run, +25% total runs in that Mets game. So – that one stood out to me. The Phillies was standing out to me as well. It's +23 home runs, +17% total runs in general. So big weather here. Like, you know, the Detroit Tigers-Chicago White Sox game was the third one that had, like, +20%. So three real big potential weather spots that the weather can kind of help us. And I was talking to Kevin Roth yesterday, joking around with him that like I had highlighted Weather Edge in Washington on Lineup HQ. And he was like, it's literally perfect hitting conditions in Washington yesterday. So like we're looking at some really good spots here as far as like weather goes.
Look at you name dropping, man. You get to talk to Kevin Roth. You got like a direct link to him?
Yeah, yeah. The same link that you have called our work Slack, you know? The same place where nobody would like pick up the show. And hey, Dean, I'll work with you, buddy. I like you.
Yeah, I can only take so much rejection in a day. Maybe tomorrow I'll contact him or something like that. we have Buffalo going down. It's not on the slate, but I'm just kind of curious how that plays out. Toronto is playing in Buffalo against Miami. That's at 6:37. I just like to, you know, just kind of keep an eye on that as far as that Buffalo ballpark. It could be weird. It could be funky. All right, so Max Scherzer, it's not even close. He's in his own world as far as this slate. There's no other, like, ace. You know, Dylan Bundy's been pitching like it. We'll talk about him in a second, but you know, the pedigree of Scherzer now. Of course, Scherzer this year has had a couple hiccups. Last time out, if you want to poke some holes, let's poke some holes, right? You want to find a reason not to play him. Last time out, he went one inning, had an ankle issue, never really didn't come back out. That was 10 days ago. He's well-rested. It's not an arm. It's a leg or an ankle, if you want to go all specific and technical. And I can't imagine. I didn't see the clip, but, like, you know how animated he gets and how angry he is and how much he's into the game. He must have really been barking when he came out of that game. It was not I'm sure he was not a happy camper about it, but if you want to say that there's some sort of red flag about that, he had a bullpen that supposedly went fine. And then you mentioned before as far as the weather, and there is some power bats, of course, on that Mets side. I guess I'm just trying to ask, why would we not play Max Scherzer? And those are the two reasons, I think. And, of course, lineup construction, yada, yada, ownership and all those kind of things. But I love Max. I'm going to have more than everybody else, which means I'm probably going to have 100%. Well, I guess I can't have more than the person that locks him in, but I don't care. I'm not concerned. It's Max Scherzer. His strikeout rate is so much better than everybody else. There's a pile of lefties in there, which you kind of prefer righties with Scherzer as far as the K split. He strikes out 39.1% of righties as opposed to 29.3% is really good as far as lefties. But can you talk me out of Max Scherzer? How concerned are you? Or are you just going to hit that lock button?
I'm not concerned at all. Like, you know, some of these lefties at the bottom of the order, they're bad. I don't think it's something that you really need to be too concerned with. I said this on the podcast, like, if Scherzer wasn't ready, he wouldn't be pitching today. Like, that's how I feel. They're not going to risk, like, their best arm because of, like, trying to get ready and to go here. So, like, if Scherzer wasn't ready, he wouldn't be pitching. So, I love Scherzer today. I'm right there with you. I think he's, like, your clear-cut top option on the slate. Like, Zach Wheeler on paper looks good, like, against Baltimore. Like, the upside seems really solid. And then, like, you start, like, digging into, like, the weather and stuff. And, like, some of these Baltimore bats, like Nunez and these guys, like, have some power. And, you know, it's – Wheeler is really good against righties, and there's quite a bit of righties in this lineup and quite a bit of guys that strike out in this lineup. So, like, he's an interesting, like, tournament pivot off of Scherzer and Bundy. But I think, like, that's the – only reason you're potentially looking at these guys.
Yeah, so let's put Wheeler against Bundy, which I think is an interesting conversation, and I'm considering going double barrel. Dylan Bundy, when life comes at you fast, he's 9.7K on DK, second most expensive pitcher on the board. No, he's third. I have Scherzer in my lineup, my dummy lineup. So, yeah, he's 9.7K. Wheeler at 9.9, almost five figures. Bundy, of course, massive, massive pedigree, number one pick years ago, and he had all sorts of issues. Maybe he's all of a sudden putting it all together. He's going to face mostly righties there in that Oakland lineup outside of Olson, which is ideal. If you're going to pick one or the other, forget Scherzer, or you're going, you know, two pitcher site. Is it Wheeler or is it Bundy, and why?
Right now it's Bundy. Like, I don't know what. Like, I've been trying to figure out, like, what the biggest change from, like, this year and last year is for him outside of, like, scenery change. And the biggest thing is, like, he is telling right-handed hitters, hit my slider. Like, he's throwing his slider over 50% of the time, and it was around 36, 37% last year. So his slider is really good. He has a massive whiff rate on it, almost a 59% whiff rate. And, like, he's just not going out there to right-handed hitters and saying, like, here's my fastball. Take it and hit it over the fence like he did last year a lot. So I don't know if it's pitching coach, catcher combination, new team, but obviously the Angels saw something to bring Bundy in, and what they've seen so far is it's working. So I prefer Bundy over Wheeler. I think it's slightly, but it's more of just like, let's see what the lineup looks like, but they should throw a lot of righties with Chapman, Cana, Laureano, Simeon. Like, they're going to throw a bunch of righties at Bundy, and this team's actually not really good against sliders. So the strikeout upside for Bundy in this spot's fantastic.
Yeah, projected lineup is four lefties with Olsen, the big bopper, you know, the switch hitter, and Grossman. Kemp and Allen, really no punch in those bats at all. They also, you know, they strike out a pretty good bit as well, too, 23.7% collectively. Four of those five in the top of the order, not Simeon, but two through five, all strike out at least 23.7% the last 2 years versus righties. And, you know, as far as the other side, we already talked about the weather. I don't know if we touched on the weather or the heat there in Philadelphia. That's more so for those Philadelphia bats. It's kind of interesting. But, you know, if you're going to have to pick between these two, I will take, you know, and also that Baltimore lineup's not good, kind of punchless, but they're much more contact heavy in that Oakland lineup as well, too. So hotter, less upside as far as strikeouts. Wheeler at 22.9% as far as his K rate. That's not, you know, that's the last two seasons. Nothing really special there. I agree with you, is long story short. I will take Bundy over Wheeler. I know Bundy is just 24% the last 2 years, but he's also seen some growth as well, too, which I believe in. I buy what's going on. Maybe not this amazing. And I believe he did face Oakland earlier this year and kind of shut them down. I think it was Oakland and Seattle twice, if I'm not mistaken. That's the lineup he's faced so far. So if I'm picking between those two, I'll take Bundy and then Wheeler. Miner's next. You cannot play Miner at 9-6. That's ridiculous. They're talking about pulling back some pitches on him. He's not going to go particularly deep and, you know, cost per pitch. Cannot do it. I know Seattle we want to pick on, but I cannot see Miner going beyond like 5 or 6 fielder free in the jump in. Lester, I mean, it falls off the table really fast. Lester, I like Zach Gallen. I prefer Zach Gallen more so on FanDuel because he's, you know, the price shopping. He's like 7-1 over there as opposed to 8-6 on DK. I think he still can get there. Really good arm, terrible ballpark, obviously. Fires, you know, it's how many of his homer, how many of his fly balls go over the park? How many die in the warning track? He can give up 3 or 4 homers in the first inning. It wouldn't shock me. Or he can give up no homers and go 7 and, you know, strike out 3 guys. I'm not playing him either way. Stop me when any of these guys are interesting to you, Stevie. It sounds like nothing is popping. Toussaint.
I'll stop you really quick. I think Mike Miner is in play on FanDuel. He is much cheaper over there on FanDuel. I think he's an interesting, like, tournament play. I think you're playing Bundy or Scherzer over there in cash games. You're probably playing Scherzer. There's some cheap bats over there, like Schwarber and some guys. But, yeah, like, Lester's pitching to contact. Zach Gallen, I'm a huge fan, but I'm not playing him in Coors. He stunk in Coors last year, too. Mike Fiers is pitch to contact. You know, I think, like, realistically, if you're looking at anybody, you know, it's Tukey Toussaint and Ross Stripling. Toussaint's going to be sub 5% owned. And, like, this lineup came out as very right-handed heavy outside of, like, Hicks, Ford, and Gardner. So, Tukey Toussaint has some really strong upside when he's facing righties. A lot of these Yankees bats hit the ball on the ground most of the time, so they tend to do better against, like, fly ball pitchers, and Toussaint's more of a ground ball pitcher. So his biggest thing is walks. Like, he will try to work counts, and, like, it rocks up his pitching pitch number and stuff like that. So, like, he's large field tournaments. Like, you're playing one of these, like, large field tournaments. Like, Tukey Toussaint is a guy nobody's going to play today, and he's interesting, but if you're not playing, like, double barrel, like Dean was talking about with, like, a Bundy Scherzer, I think it's Scherzer Stripling. The more I look into Stripling, the more I liked him in this spot. I wrote him up in Lineup HQ today as a value option on DraftKings. Like, it's just a good spot. Yes, I will say, like, the Padres overall, their lineup is better, but this guy throws strikes. He's very efficient, and his pitch count continues to climb. So they still strike out such a high clip against righties. I think Stripling, like, has a nice floor, like, to ceiling ratio in the spot.
Yeah, Tatis is a monster, but he strikes out 31.5% of the time. Myers, 33% of the time. Hedges in the lineup there, batting 8th, 29%, collectively 24.8%. Stripling at 24.4% as far as his K rate. You know, that's not great, but it's a little bit above average. By the way, the chat's talking about, they said, you know, what was this? Somebody was talking about fade Max and Bundy, in my opinion. Now, okay, let's take that route, because, of course, you can do that. whenever you decide that, though, it's like, okay, now you got to play somebody. You can't just say, I'm going to fade those guys. And the pool of pitchers is just so bad and so murky. Like, give me the pivots. You said Stripling is one of them, and I agree. I think Stripling is kind of interesting. I think Gallen kind of sort of somewhat interesting. Yeah, you mentioned on FanDuel specific, I guess you can play Minor. I guess he can go five innings. If he's super efficient, maybe six. And he is like one of the cheapest guys on the board. But it just falls off a table really, really fast as far as these pitchers. Like, I don't, you know, doing my rankings today, I got to rank eight pitchers, and I had a hard time. I was squeamish about both, like most of them, the back half. I was like, I don't know. Gio Gonzalez is like 5K, 5'7", maybe 6K on FanDuel, and he's just like the worst pitcher to watch pitch when you have him rostered. He labors out there. He picks corners. He needs a pitcher's umpire. He has those 30-pitch innings. He doesn't go deep. I can't get excited about any of these guys. Like, that's just sort of where I'm at. Alexander's K-rate. You see him? No, not his K-rate, but his last time out. It almost looks unbelievable, like what he did. I don't know if you saw this, Stevie. Last time versus Cincinnati, right? 3 2/3. 3 2/3. 10 strikeouts. How many pitches?
I knew he threw like 9 straight strikeouts, right?
I think it was like 9 straight, yes.
I don't know. Like, I don't believe it whatsoever. So you're not selling me on Alexander whatsoever. So.
Oh, I'm just saying it's an interesting factoid. I'm not saying to play him necessarily.
No, go ahead. You got me intrigued now. How many pitches?
Well, the point is he struck out 10 dudes in 3 2/3 and 55 pitches. Like, that's hard to do. Now, and then that's the thing is he was pitching amazing and they still stopped him at 55. Maybe he gets to 70. Maybe he gets to 70. Like, that's kind of the general rule. They go up 15, but he was pitching perfect and they took him out at 55 pitches. So, yeah, I don't know. He's not a guy who's known for K's anyway.
He was out of the bullpen in that game, right? And didn't he work like a couple days before that too? Wasn't that the case?
That is the case. He has not pitched since the second.
Yeah. So, like, maybe they're feeling like he could be stretched out a little bit more here in a starting role. But overall, like, Anderson's back in that lineup. E5 is back in that lineup. Like, this team overall is really good against lefties. Like, I don't mind playing right-handed pitching against the White Sox, but like, if I'm gonna like take a Alexander, like, just give me like Marco Gonzalez and hopefully he doesn't get blown up, or Josh Lindblom, or even like a Brandon Bielak, you know, like against the Giants. Like, give me one of these guys. Don't give me a guy that notoriously has been awful against right-handed pitching hitting against 9 righties.
Yeah, and that's the thing I wanted to point it out as far as the K percent. Like, that was kind of an anomaly. I just thought it was interesting. That's all. I was just kind of mentioning it. But yeah, 23.5% K rates, nothing special there, obviously. And versus righties, 21.1% in the last 2 years. Like you said, this lineup is going to be, is it all righties? 9 righties? I think it is.
9 righties, yeah.
Yeah. More or less, it's like it's cheap. And if he ekes his way to like 12 or 15 points and the bats make up the difference, who cares?
Sure.
You mentioned Marco Gonzalez, and, you know, he's been good this year, like ERA good, but, you know, he's also been lucky from a BABIP perspective.
He stinks.
Yeah, he does stink, but he's like, but he's cheap. Well, he's an innings eater. You know what I mean? He's you know.
Yeah,
he's
but not... so is like Martin Perez against a team that is awful against left-handed pitching. Like, go play Martin Perez against Tampa, who has like what? 7-8 guys over 24% against left-handed pitching and strikeouts. Like,
I like that Tampa lineup. I think that Tampa lineup's pretty good, actually. But
I like the Tampa lineup too. And I'm saying, like, if you're going down here, like, at least play a little bit of a guy like that has a little bit of upside. Like, Tampa, they strike out so much. Like, I don't know. Marco Gonzalez is not my favorite. You know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, play no. Mike Minor on the other side, maybe like on FanDuel. But like, Marco Gonzalez is a guy that doesn't strike anybody out. Like, Joey Gallo is my favorite play on the slate. Favorite play on the entire slate. Like, if you read expert survey, he's up and down on my expert survey today. Joey Gallo is taking Marco Gonzalez deep today. Like, just lock that home run in.
I'm reading the chat right now. I'm rocking 35% Porcello. That seems like a terrible idea.
With the hot weather and a hot Washington bats, like, I'm going to pass on Porcello. Like, this is what I was saying at the beginning when we started talking about pitching. I've narrowed my pitching pool down. Like, I'm playing Scherzer. I'm playing Bundy. I have some Stripling. I'm really trying to talk myself out of playing Touki Toussaint. And then, like, if I'm punting, like, I don't like any of these guys. So, like, there's a $2,300 second baseman that I'll use instead of a cheap pitcher.
Porcello has just got no upside. He doesn't. Actually, I was reading in Cheese's article today. I'm pretty sure he's got a 5% swinging strike. I know it's small sample size and all that, but it doesn't surprise me. I'm pretty sure it's Porcello. 5% swinging strike rate this season. That seems bad, and that seems like that subdues any sort of K upside. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going down there, I'm rostering Marco before I'm considering a guy like Porcello.
Sure, Marco Gonzalez has a swinging strike rate under 9%. Like he's gosh, like I don't know. Maybe he works out for you. Good luck. I'm not playing him.
Lindblom at 5'8" is, you know, again, there. I have some interest in there. I would imagine
he's in the argument, right? Like he has to be in the argument.
I was gonna say I didn't look at the BBP stuff, but I would imagine most of these guys probably haven't seen him on the Minnesota side, or not haven't seen much of him.
Even if they did, he's changed so much since he went to the KBO. He's mixed up, like he's throwing so much more like different stuff. Like this is a dude that throws a fastball, a cutter, a slider, and mixes in a cutter or a changeup sometimes too. Like he's way different than he was.
They're asking about Plutko in the chat, just throwing names out. Plutko's not good, and he's only in the rotation because other pitchers are being quarantined on Cleveland, right? Like didn't Clevinger and somebody else do something?
He missed the sharp side segment where I love the Cubs today.
Yeah, I can't do Plutko. He's a contact guy, but you know, there's not a lot of upside with Plutko. But like he's another one's guy, he can get there if Babbitt's on his side, I suppose. He can kind of eke his way. But I can
go and pitch if Babbitt's on our side and get there, but like we're trying to find out who the best plays are, you know, using all the information that we have, and like using the information that we have, like we don't have any extreme pitchers and umpires on the slate. Like we're paying up a pitcher today. Like Arizona is so cheap. There's some cheap bats across the industry, like FanDuel. There's some really cheap bats. Like if you want to pay down, just take the floor of like Ross Stripling. Like, I think Lindblom is in play just because of like his price. Minnesota is a very good team up and down. There's not a weak spot in this lineup. Like Buxton might be the weak spot in this lineup, but like even Buxton has a ton of power. So like if you're rolling the dice on anybody, I think he has to be like Lindblom, but I don't know. Like I'm crazy. I'm trying to sit over here and like talk myself out of playing Tuki Toussaint. So I don't know.
There are worse plays, and yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to play Rick Porcello, have at it. Am I wrong to say he was once a Cy Young winner? He was, right?
Well, yeah, with the Red Sox.
Because when his one loss record was like 23-6 or something.
He had an insane ground ball rate that year, and like BABIP and everything. Like he had a really good year just of not getting crushed. But the other guy that I wanted to mention really quick, just because of like, it's such a small sample size, but I feel like we're dealing with small sample size all year. Atlanta Braves, Acuna is out of the lineup. He got scratched.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Jordan Montgomery threw 95 pitches against Philly his last time out. Like, that's really high for Jordan Montgomery. This lineup, like, if you just look at, like, 2020 numbers and against, like, left-handed pitching, a team that was one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching last season has been one of the worst teams in baseball against left-handed pitching this season. So they're striking out at an alarming rate, like a massive, massive strikeout rate. So like if you want to play a small sample size and take a shot on someone, maybe it's Jordan Montgomery, because like I will really quickly – Devin has control of my screen here. I'm going to pull up 2020 numbers against left-handed pitching for the Braves, and you guys can see it. Like you're gonna see on Plate IQ, just it's just like a red screen outside of like Adam Duvall. So like maybe he's the guy you take, roll the dice and take a shot on. But I hate like a small sample size of like 15 plate appearances.
Yeah,
but that's what we're dealing with in a 60 game season.
What about? I'm not sure if you mentioned it. Albies is out too, so that lineup even looks worse.
Yeah, he's banged up. Yeah.
Who replaced Acuña? You take Acuña and Albies out of that Braves lineup, it gets ugly pretty fast. Yeah, you got Freeman and you got Ozuna. You know, there's some pop in the bat for Duvall. Like Darnold is a better than the average catcher. Nice ballpark they're hitting him, but still, I mean, Riley can run into one.
Inciarte replaces him.
Yeah.
And Swanson's hitting leadoff. Darnold moved up to the second spot.
Well, that's a good segue to catchers. Are we spending up on a guy like Darnell? Do we care about Darnell? Are we just playing our catcher in our stack? Who's popping there as far as the backstop for you?
I think Carson Kelly is the chalk, right? Facing a lefty in cores under 4K. He's the chalk. If I'm paying up, like, I really think I'm paying up for like a JT Realmuto if I'm paying up. He's just such a consistent hitter. And we already talked about like the weather in that game. I really like Philly today. I think they're an interesting stack. But Travis Darnell at 4.8K against Montgomery is definitely in play, batting second now. So gets that awesome lineups position. The other guy that I wanted to mention was Austin Nola. We talked about him a lot yesterday. He should bat fourth or fifth here against Mike Minor. And I like Minor, but Nola has been hitting left-handed pitching ever since we've seen him get called up. Was it last season? So, like, I think Nola is a really strong catcher play under 4K as well.
If you're going to flat-out punt it.
That's the name of my game, Dean. Like, who's the minimum price catcher that's playing? Like,
I think you know who mine is? I think mine's Mike Zunino.
Okay, you know, I like that a lot. Like, Zunino profiles really well against Perez, so I like that a lot. Perez not going to throw the by anybody. Zunino with power upside. That's a good one, Dean. There you go.
Zunino crushes batting practice. Like, but, you know, you get him – like, when you're just throwing the ball up there, the dude destroys it. But, you know, when the pitchers are trying to get you out, he swings and misses an awful lot. We're looking at a guy who strikes out 33% of the time. But like you said, Perez – 18.4% K rate in the last two seasons versus righties. Like, he's going to strike out Zeno more than 18% of the time, but Zeno probably strikes out less than 33% of the time versus Perez as opposed to an average pitcher. You got the green monster lurking there. Zanino's probably going to be my cash game catcher. I haven't built it yet, to be honest. I've been busy with other stuff. But in my head, if I need some salary savings, that's where I'm going. Of course, like you said, if you have the salary, I mean, how do you not love JT Realmuto? I'm okay with Grandal as well, too. We talked about the Heat. We talked about, you know, Cobb is worth picking on. And I was digging this before the show, too, like small sample size stuff. But Cobb is like last 2 years, I think it's like 3 homers per 9 or something silly like that. It's maybe more. It's a lot. He's given up a lot of home runs, and it's hot. So that Philly side, I think, is a really, really interesting stack. I don't know how popular they're going to be. I don't know if you have the stack stuff in front of you as far as the ownership stuff in front of you. Again, my computer is driving me nuts. Let's move on and talk about Gary Sanchez, by the way. What happened to Gary Sanchez? Is he done? Or is this just like he's going to have a revelation soon? It's just kind of a blip on the radar.
I don't think it's that crazy for a power hitter to be striking out a bunch. Like, there could be just a little niche in his swing that, like, when he starts hitting the ball hard again, you want to be, you know, jumping right back on it. Like, JD Martinez is starting to hit the ball hard again. So, like, jump right back on him. So, overall ownership for the Phillies is about 6%. As a stack today. So there you go.
That seems low. Am I missing something? What? I mean, I understand that it's a core slate and
Arizona's 12 games too.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Arizona is around 14.5%. So, like, you know, really, like, Phillies, we're looking at like the third or fourth highest owned stack.
All right. So good segue at first base. And it kind of, that's conversation we're having, because two of the guys that are popping for me, Christian Walker's 4.6K versus Kyle Freeland, who's an absolute disaster in Coors Field. And then Rhys Hoskins, one of those guys who's, I don't want to say he's kind of fallen back from what he was a couple years ago, but we know there's plenty of pop in that bat, but 3.9K for Rhys Hoskins. I love that. If you need to save some salary, just kind of giving you all the ranges here. Miggy Cabrera, I know it's 2020, but Miggy Cabrera is 2.4K on DK. Like, that seems like that's a super punt. There's some, if you want to save some opportunity cost at a position, sure, why not? And there's Rizzo, if you want to spend up for his pluck code, it just doesn't strike anybody out, contact guy. What's popping for you as far as first base?
I think you talk really about, you know, everyone that I wanted to mention. You know, Rizzo at the top is probably one of my favorites. You get really good leverage with Matt Olson.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go there with Bundy. Ohtani, I would probably play more in the outfield, but I do like Ohtani. I like the Angels against Fires. But, yeah, like you mentioned Hoskins. Like, look, like, let's just look at, like, lineup HQ and look, Dean, there's a little tag there written up by good old Stevie TPFL. I know that guy.
What does he say
today? He says, play this guy. He's going to hit home run tonight. But all joking aside, like, Alex Cobb is semi-reverse splits for, like, years now. Dean already talked about the home runs that, the, you know, he allows. Hoskins gets on the board with his first home run of the night or first home run of the season tonight. Does so I like
that,
him a lot.
Zero homers? I didn't know that.
Zero homers. He's off to like, but he started to hit at the end of that Atlanta series. And you got to remember, like, they played two games against the Marlins and then, like, was out for, like, COVID for, like, a week. So, like,
yeah.
they got ready, got shut down again, got ready again. Like, you know, so I don't think it's unusual for the Phillies to be a little cold right now. But E5, 3.8K on DraftKings going up against Alexander. We've talked about, you know, Alexander and, like, how his struggles really over the years has been against lefties or against righties. So, like, I think E5 is, you know, definitely in consideration as well.
Brousseau is first and second base eligible in DK leading off there for Tampa at 3.3K. It's kind of a super punt. Jose Martinez, I imagine he's the DH tonight, batting fourth. He's a big dude, so it makes sense to me. He's the DH. Plenty of pop in that bat. Righty and Fenway is kind of interesting. I would say, like, especially Brousseau, there's probably some pinch hit risk there. I'm always concerned about pinch hits. I'm very concerned about in Arizona, too, which we'll get to as well, guys like Andrew Young and potentially LeCastro, a couple guys that may get the hook as well, which is, you know, they do it in the first inning or they do it in their fourth, you know, second or third at bat, not a big deal. But, yeah, those at bats are precious, Stevie. I need every at bat I can get, and I hate giving them up. Nothing tilts me more than my guy getting pinch hit for. Last one I'll give is Eric Thames against the aforementioned Rick Porcello. He is 4-2 on DK, which is going to suppress his price, but I want to say he's like 2-4 or 2-5 on FanDuel, and Cheese gave a shout out this one too. He's been hitting hard. Hard hit balls, not a lot to show for it, but he's a big dude. He's a strong dude, and he's going to hit the ball hard very, very soon, and eventually it's going to work out in his favor. Maybe it happens tonight versus Rick Porcello, former Cy Young winner Rick Porcello. Keystone position, second base, open it up.
Man, there's so many good plays at second base. You got Jose Altuve, Kettle Marte. You know, we really haven't mentioned Houston a lot. Love it. Love Houston in this spot tonight. They're in a great spot going up against the soft toss and lefty. So, like, Hera is definitely in play. Like, Clifford's going to start this game, but, you know, the guy that's coming in, not anything great. But, like, Jonathan Scope for some value if you want to go down. But, like, Dean, Jake Cronenworth, this guy is just a hitting machine. 8 out of 9 games with at least one hit. And he's 2.3K. I like Stripling. I like Stripling. I have Stripling. Like, but Cronenworth, 2.3. He opens everything up. Everything up. Like, if you want to play Arizona, you want to play Max Scherzer. I think the opportunity cost is lower at second base than maybe like at a first base or a third base or potentially like you know, some of these other positions, but it's tough because like Kettle Marte, Jose Altuve are in just such great spots. But like if you want to go all the way down on this slate, I really like Cronenworth here. He's been hitting ever since he got called up, and like this is a dude with massive contact numbers in AAA too. So I don't need much at 2.3K.
You know, like people love the new name Chadwick Trump. Yes. I wish the Cronenworths named their kid Chadwick, and we had Chadwick Cronenworth, like that the most awesome, like prep school name yeah. ever. it's unfortunate. Jake, it just sounds like a prep school like kid to me for some reason. The name Cronenworth, he comes from money or something. Yeah, I you know, you mentioned Altuve at home versus the lefty. You know, salary is an issue, sure. But if you can get there, by all means. And I agree. Houston's probably going to be, I don't want to say lost completely this late, but probably a little bit ignored. We still don't have Springer, so that lineup, of course, takes a big hit. You know, Reddick is about batting in the two-hole. Bregman, Brantley, Gurriel, Correa, you can read the rest, Tucker, Maldonado, and Miles Straw, which is another fabulous name. Hero's pretty solid. Yeah.
Why are they hitting Reddick? Like, that's the only thing I hate about this stack. Like, why is Reddick hitting in the two hole? I know he makes a ton of contact against left-handed pitching, but like, why is Correa not hitting in the two hole? Like, I know like they're all like down on Correa right now, but like, I don't know. That lineup...
managers are trained. They go to training school, manager school, and you have to go lefty, righty, lefty, whatever it is. Like, that's a thing. And maybe it's something to do with like the new reliever rule where you have to throw to three batters. I don't know, man. Like, just play your best hitters. Like, what's the wildest one to me is when I see, like, David Fletcher. I mean, you can – okay, you have Mike Trout, the greatest player of all time. Like, why would you not want more bats for Mike Trout and say – you willingly say, I want David Fletcher to hit more times than Mike Trout. Like, how do you say that?
Right? I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Because, you know, the traditional – you can't – you got to have a contact speedster guy leading. No, you don't. Just play your best hitters, have them hit the most. All right, moving on. That's end of my rant. Third base, what do you have in the hot corner?
Man, I love Bregman. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay up for him a lot on this slate, but, like, he profiles amazing in this spot. To save a little bit of money, I think Chris Bryant is there. Eduardo Escobar is your chalk Coors type of play. Andrew Young batting leadoff in Coors, and, like, he is going to be, what, a lot lower owned than Escobar?
What do we say? Because Young is leading off, and Escobar is batting six. Young is also a guy people just learned his name of like 3 hours ago.
Right.
He did show some power in the minors for what it's worth. We don't know what he's going to be, if he's going to be anything, but he's a leadoff hitter in Coors. He's 3.9K on DK. He's really, really cheap on FanDuel, too. I can't remember the price off the dome, but it's really cheap, and he's a cash game staple. There is the potential of him getting the hook if a righty comes in, when a righty comes in. Yeah, but you're probably playing one of the two. I don't know. And they're both the same exact price. What do we have as far as ownership? Do we just kind of split it or what?
Andrew is 18 and Escobar is 16. That's crazy to me. I thought it was going to be a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, people prioritize the spot in the, you know, in the order, but again, in the eighth inning, maybe Young's gone. He can absolutely get the hook. It wouldn't surprise me. Well, Jed Jerko is batting. Whew. Jed Jerko's batting cleanup against a righty in the year 2020. That just hit me. I did not know. I mean, I know that Milwaukee lineup is bad, but good Lord. And by the way, hey, shout out to Milwaukee. They're leading off Abascal Garcia. Not a traditional leadoff hitter. I respect that. Thank you. Good job, Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee's just trying to field nine guys that can hit the ball.
Well, they got a new guy. Ryan Braun is back. He's playing baseball tonight. Back from the IL, but geez, that lineup is just sort of weak. You can't roster Clifford, obviously. Yandy Diaz is like a monster. He's dude's jacked, but like he doesn't have as much power as you want him to for whatever reason. But I think he's interesting. He's also been terrible this year, just for what it's worth. Small sample size, yada yada. But Yandy Diaz, guy, kind of broke out in the beginning last year. I think he got hurt and sort of faded away. But you know, 3K
much better against lefties than righties too.
And he's facing Martin Perez in Fenway, which that seems like a good spot to be in when you're good against lefties.
It is a good spot. I think he is, like, if you're wanting to pay down at third base, he is the guy. The only other name that I want to throw out there, like, I know some people hate, like, hot streaks and stuff, but, like, Nunez from Baltimore, he's crushing the ball. It's a tough matchup against Wheeler, don't get me wrong. But, like, this guy is hitting home runs at an alarming rate right now. So, like, he is someone that if you're playing, like, one of these, like, 300K, 100K to first type tournaments, like, I have him as a one-off on, like, a couple FanDuel teams that I built earlier. But don't know if it'll stick or not with Diaz batting in that two-hole.
Do you have lineup HQ in front of you? Are you showing off to the people right now? Because I see they're talking in the chat. What do we have? You talked about there's no extremes as far as – do we have extreme sort of hitters, umpires, pitchers, umpires? Anything sort of pop for you?
Extreme hitters, umpire, and cores. Rest is really kind of neutral.
What a place for the extreme hitters, umpire to be. It just sort of works out like that sometimes.
Yep.
All right. And as far as Max, there's no extremes. Like I don't go overboard in these things, but I like to kind of take note of the extremes one way or the other. If there's no extremes, who cares? And certain pitchers, it matters for more as well for me. Like I need certain guys getting the corners, the wild ones. Shortstop, open it up.
I think shortstop's an interesting position, right? You have Trevor Story against Gallen, and I said this in expert survey. I guess I'll say it here. Like I'm fading the Rockies tonight. Like that's how I'm going to kind of gain some leverage. I respect Gallen. I think Correa and Torres. Like I feel like Torres is going to be more popular than what we have him at. You know, I don't really see like a chalky shortstop. Tim Anderson batting leadoff against Alexander at 4.1. Like he should be kind of popular here. Nico Goodrum is getting some love across the industry today. He could be popular, but it'd be really interesting to see where like a lot of this ownership kind of falls. But one of my favorite guys is Didi. I think he is a guy we've talked about that game a lot already. So like Didi's a guy that's really standing out to me is that you don't have to go all the way up, you don't go all the way down, and like he just kind of fits that build.
Yeah, I mean I love players leading off on the road, batting first against a terrible pitcher that happened to have some skills. Trey Turner fits the bill across the board, and he's pretty cheap at 4.9K on DK. If I cannot get there, Like, you know, that assures, that basically assures you, we talk about it all the time, but just in case people don't know, especially, you know, those 7-inning games not worth getting into. But, like, if your team wins 4-1 and you're the home team and you're batting 8th or 7th, there's a reasonable chance you only got 3 at-bats that game. And if you're, you know, on the road and you're batting leadoff and your team scores 5 runs or, you know, puts 10 guys on via walk, via error in total, however you want to say it, minus double plays, you're going to get 5 at-bats. The difference between 5 at-bats and 3 at-bats is so huge. It's all about opportunity. It's not basketball where you can delegate your opportunity. You know, that's such a massive difference. And that factors in so much, especially for cash games for me. Tournaments, I understand, only takes one swing and you get there sometimes. Lindor, shouldn't ignore Lindor against Lester, Jack in the Bag potential as well. But what I was getting at is I agree with you on Didi Gregorius. Just against Alex Cobb, his home run tendencies, the weather is popping. You know, he's got the splits in his favor as well, too. If I cannot get the Turner, I think Gregorius is my guy at shortstop. Anything else that's kind of worth noting here, or shall we jump to the outfield?
We should mention Javi Baez, like, against Plutko. Plutko is not going to really blow the ball by anybody. Baez is a guy that with a bunch of power. Trey Turner is another guy we should mention against Porcello. So, good hitting weather. He's been throughout his career, he's been much better against righties than lefties. So those are the two guys that I feel like we should at least mention in this spot.
Give me some outfielders. Of course, everybody knows Mike Trout is great at baseball. Banged out two you know, Trout missiles last night. Renfro, super cheap on DK, 3.3K, cheap on the FanDuel as well, too. Margot is another guy, especially cheap on FanDuel at like 2-1. Renfro, possible pinch hit risk, depending how things go. But I love his power against Perez in this ballpark. You know, if you have other Schwarber, you mentioned on FanDuel is a really strong play at like 2.7. I want to say Hicks is cheap over there too.
Eaton's really cheap over there. Andrew McCutcheon's really cheap over there. Like,
yep.
Bunch of cheap outfielders on FanDuel to kind of fill in some cash game plays.
Yeah. Like if you're building, it sounds like we both are building Scherzer lineups and you're like, how do we make this Scherzer lineup work? Yep. We can get this guy and this guy and this guy.
I do value tags on Tuesday for Lineup HQ. So, like, I looked through FanDuel and DraftKings and Yahoo, like, separately and was like, wow, there's a lot more value on FanDuel today than there is DraftKings. I feel like Trout is – like, Trout profile is so amazing against Mike Fiers. I'm sure there's some BVP in there because they face each other a bunch too. But, like, he is a top overall hitter today. I've already mentioned how much I love Joey Gallo in this spot when we were talking earlier. Like, I know it's lefty-lefty, but, like, I get so excited when I see 3% ownership on Joey Gallo on this slate because Marco Gonzalez is kind of neutral splits, and he just doesn't strike people out. So Gallo with a 40% K rate and a 450 ISO, like, if he can put the ball in play against Marco Gonzalez, like, it's going to be hard contact. So I love him. Sterling Marte, I wrote this in expert survey. We like to give stuff out all the time. Arizona Diamondbacks have one home run against left-handed pitching this season. One home run. So, like, they might double or triple their, like, total number tonight, but one home run against left-handed pitching this season.
Because some questions in the chat before we step aside and get out of here. We don't know if the Roop is open in Texas or not. I'm sure Roth will give us the answer up next.
Looked everywhere to try to find the info, and I can't find any.
There's got to be, like, their official account or something. Normally they would do it so they would tell the people showing up in the game. Obviously there's nobody showing up in the game, so who knows. And we saw the other day Arizona had, like, a pre-planned, we're opening it in the fourth inning, which is bizarre too. But it was, like, 98 degrees outside. So we don't know. If I get that information, I'll pass it along to you guys in chat. Are the Rockies a good leverage play in tournaments with 12 games and people fading? It is interesting because I have the same stand. I like the Rockies. I respect the Rockies in cores, but I'm mostly staying away. That's the plan right now. Is that what we're seeing, low ownership in Colorado as far as the Colorado side?
No, they're still going to be – like, their team ownership is about 7%. So they're saying the roof is closed.
Thank Twitter, you, chat.
Chat and Twitter and Kevin Roth saying that the roof is closed. So I don't think the Rockies are going to be anywhere close – I don't think they're going to be anywhere close ownership-wise today. But, I think that – could they could beat me. They could beat anybody. Like, they could hit anyone. They hit Gallen last year when he was with the Diamondbacks. It was his second start with the Diamondbacks. He had to go to Coors. So And they hit him really well. So, like, if you want to stack the Rockies, go for it. Like, I don't think anyone will talk you out of it. It's just you're playing, like, Lindblom and, like, Stripling. And, like, everybody that stacks the Rockies is going to have the same pitchers because that's what you have to do. They're so expensive.
It sounds like sour grapes for sure, but I really wish they had that roof closed last night. I'm fairly certain that Lewis Ball was not getting out. But whatever. Today only is this DFS. Give me a couple stacks you like.
Oh, man. The Cubs, love the Cubs, love the Phillies. Arizona, I think, is the top stack, point per dollar on the slate. Houston, yeah. By the way, I miss somebody I like, but
Juan Soto, just let's acknowledge his existence against Rick Porcello. I like that Washington side and Philadelphia as well, too. Let's pick on Alex Cobb and Rick Porcello. Why not?
Why not?
Okay.
Listen, you're not going to hear me ever say don't pick on Alex Cobb. The guy gives up so many home runs.
Like and subscribe on the YouTube. That helps us out with the analytics. Must appreciate it. Stay tuned for crunch time. You got Roth. You got nope, it's not cheese. You got Tuttle, and you have Derek Carty, creator and curator of the bat. Stevie, anything else for the road?
Play Joey Gallo tonight.